Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Well, good afternoon to another exciting adventure here on Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, with the sweetest, the kindest, the most handsome of all co-hosts, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Well, good afternoon. Each show I get a better and better intro, Annie. Thank you very much. Glad to have everyone with us. Welcome, everyone, to Southern Sense for Friday, October the 5th. Southern Sense Radio Show is reaching out to you electronically and politically, as well as networking, Twitter and Facebook. Annie's working also on a website, strictly Southern Sense. So we are also simulcasting on Stitcher, and we will be with Spreaker shortly. All these links will be posted in the chat room as soon as I can get into the chat room. Oh, I'm actually in now. But anyway, throughout the show, and I've been to ask you, Annie, how's that website coming? You told me a couple weeks ago. It got me all excited about it.
The link is already up on our show page, so if anyone wants to take a look at it, it's just in the beginning stages. We're going to be updating it and adding things on as we go along, and people give us feedback. It's very easy to remember. It's the very same thing as our show, Southern-Sense. If you hit Southern-Sense to find our show in BTR, all you have to do is go southern-sense.com. And you can also go to our webpage, make it nice and easy for everyone to remember. A matter of fact, we have someone in the chat room who just yelled at me because I called him by his first name.
Oh, well.
All right,
you know how it is down south. You guys always work on a first name or nickname basis. So, but great. That'll be great. And also Twitter, my friends, hey, we're everywhere. So give us a holler. You can chat with Annie and even Jermaine and Sarge. And you're also big on LinkedIn, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm up on LinkedIn. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, MySpace. Where am
Annie
I not?
Everywhere, folks. She's even in Margaret Thatcher's forget it. Anyway, we'll move on with that. Annie, before we get moving, a little debate took place this week.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be talking about that. We also have two fantastic guests. One of them is on the line, and we'll bring them on shortly. We're going to have Xander Deimos. He's got a new album out, Guitarcadia. And we also have Lloyd Marcus, and he is chair of the Rebuild America Tour, Let's Defeat Obama. So we'll have both of them on, and it's going to be exciting. And before we start, I want to remind everyone, every show we start off, we do a dedication to a fallen military hero. And I was going to do it to one individual, but when I found that he was killed in action by a coward, two other members of the military died in that attack. And I did not feel right if I dedicated to only one and not all three. So we will dedicate the show to three military heroes that were killed just recently.
All right. I'll play the music. Hang on.
If you bring up the Army, because two are Army and one is Air Force.
It's going.
Okay. This is dedicated to Air Force Major Walter D. Gray, Army Major Thomas E. Kennedy, and Army Sergeant Kevin J. Griffin, who were killed in a bombing attack by a terrorist on August 8th of this year. This is from Associated Press in Fort Carson, Colorado. A Fort Carson chaplain urged mourners to hold dear the service of three servicemen killed in an attack in Afghanistan as hundreds gathered at the Army post to remember them. Air Force Major Walter D. Gray, 38, of Conyers, Georgia, Army Major Thomas E. Kennedy, 35, of West Point, New York, and Army Sergeant Major Kevin J. Griffin, 45, of Laramie, Wyoming, died August 8th when insurgents detonated suicide vests. "Let us hold their service dear," said Lieutenant Colonel John Good. "Let us make sure that their sacrifice is not in vain." Griffin and Kennedy were assigned to the 4th Brigade Combat Team, 4th Infantry Division, based at Fort Carson. Gray was an air liaison officer and flight commander for the Fort Carson-based 13th Air Support Operations Squadron, part of the 93rd Air Ground Operations Wing at Moody Air Force Base in Georgia. Scores of people dabbled their eyes under graying skies, while others wept softly during the memorial service. Griffin served in Kuwait and the Balkans before deploying three times to Iraq. He graduated from Rivington High School. The father of two had already celebrated 25 years of marriage to his wife, Pam. "The Army in this country has lost a great soldier and champion," said Command Sergeant Major Jody Heikam. Kennedy deployed to Afghanistan in July. He had earned three Bronze Stars and attended the U.S. Military Academy at West Point, New York, where he was on the hospital. Surviving are his wife, Amy, and two children, Brody and Margaret. "We know that you are up there in the company of the great ones looking over us now," said Major Timothy Snow. "You will be on the ice with each of us time we lace up." Gray was known as perfectionist. He was killed days before his 11th wedding anniversary. His survivors include his wife, Heather, and the children, Dia, Garrett, and Ava. "Honestly, I don't know if we can say rest in peace for David," said Michael Femingho, was Gray's pastor, "because David was just too busy worshiping his king." Three men received a 21-gun salute before a single trumpet broke the silence. And as always, we end each dedication with a song named "My Name is America" by Todd Ellen Herrington. And I want to remind you that you can find this song up on YouTube and on Todd Ellen Herrington's website, and you can download it.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America, don't tread on me. I cannot be broken, I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger, and I'll rise.
That was Todd Allen Herndon and My Name is America. Now, we've had musicians on before, and we've got something completely different today. We have Xander Deimos. We're going to bring him on in a split second. He's got a new album out called Guitarcadia, and it's a high-energy and metal guitar album. So I don't know if you out there, some of you are like me, a little bit older, and we like things a little bit calmer, but it is. It is absolutely fantastic album. Just listening to his fingers go across the guitar strings just amazes me. I'm a little more classical, but that's right. But we're also going to have on a little bit later Lloyd Marcus. And he's got some fantastic music out there that some of you have probably even heard in some of the commercials from the Tea Party Express. And we have a jam-packed show. I'm going to show how, you know, we can get our two ends to meet in the middle, so to say. Mike, I'm not saying this right, am I?
Well, I think your point is well taken. But I actually listened to some of the tunes. I like it. Maybe if we're lucky, Xander will maybe do something live for us. If we kiss enough booty, I should say.
Well, let's bring on Xander Deimos. Good afternoon, Xander. How are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon to both of you. How are you guys?
All right. I did listen to your album, and I like some of it. You know, just others are just, the heavy metal stuff is just not my type of thing, honestly. But a lot of it I can appreciate because I used to play classical violin, and just imagining your fingers going across the strings at lightning speed, it just blew my mind.
Thanks. Thank you. I'll definitely take that as a compliment.
Well, Boys of Summer certainly was great. I mean, I know... I listened to it a couple times. I really enjoyed it. You know, music is almost like politics. There's it's just like so many different categories, so many different likes, dislikes, so many different flavors. And you know what? Sometimes there's a little bit of everything that people like and a little bit of everything. So
yeah, definitely. I mean, I like all kinds of different music. I mean, just what I listen to personally and stuff. But I've been a metal musician for a long time, you know.
Well, who was your influences when you were when you're younger? Who were like who kind of you know, inspired you?
In the early days, I mean, it would basically be the bands like Boston and Journey and Van Halen. You know, as the 80s wore on, I mean, you know, I'm definitely, I'll show my age, I don't care about that. But as the 80s wore on, I started getting into, like, a lot of the guitar virtuosos, you know, like Eric Johnson and Steve Vai and Yngwie Malmsteen. And, you know, eventually just, you know, when the 90s came around and, you know, guitar solos and that kind of guitar playing was sort of deemed uncool, I just kind of kept going, you know, and doing my thing. And when it kind of came back in vogue again, like probably in the early 2000s, I mean, I had improved vastly, like just as a musician, as a player, physically and technically, and things like that. So it seemed like, you know, I didn't give up like a lot of players did. They just said, well, you know what, the whole shred guitar thing or the whole virtuoso guitar thing is kind of dead now, and we're just gonna kind of roll the changes and stuff like that. And that was fine if they wanted to do that. It just wasn't for me. And so my influences ranged from the early days of like the arena rock, you know, bands, like I said, Van Halen, Journey, you know, Boston, those kind of bands, you know, all the way going into, you know, like the progressive and technical metal guys like Dream Theater and Queensryche and all those, you know, those types of bands and essentially the players that were in there.
Now, you have several guitar companies that sponsor you. How'd you manage to hook all that up?
Well, basically it started, like the guitar companies that I work with, it's not like I get anything for free, and that's okay because I'd rather pay for something that I'm proud to endorse, you know what I mean? But the way a lot of it happened, I would say probably the NAMM show, you know, in California in 2007, that was the first time I went. That really kicked off a lot of things for me. And eventually every year that I started going back, I mean, I was like a demo person for this one amp company. And I would have like certain companies, like Sir Guitars, who I've been with since 2008, they approached me and they said, hey, would you be interested in playing, you know, becoming an artist for us? And I said, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And then I'd also built a relationship up with another guitar company called McNaught Guitars, who's just a kind of like a one-man shop based out of North Carolina, and that's the company that actually builds my Xander Demas signature guitar. So he's added that to his lineup and everything like that, which, I mean, it's a very proud moment for me because I think every guitar player, you know, basically wants, you know, to have a guitar named after him, you know, from the factory. So it's kind of cool. So a lot of times it's just, you know, it's just a matter of like doing some networking with these people and you know, shaking hands and maybe a little bit like politics, a little bit of self-marketing here and there, but it definitely worked out. You know, I'm just very lucky. I'm very lucky that these people were willing to give me the time of day, you know.
Yeah, and what made you put this album, Guitarcadia, together?
It's a badass. I like that. It's a badass album and a great name.
Thank you. Thanks, guys. I appreciate that. What made me put it together, honestly, I've been in so many bands that have been vocal-oriented, but yet I have such a strong background listening to a lot of these instrumental guys. So what made me put it together was I just said, you know, I want to put a solo album out because that's important to me. So I did it, and, you know, I would just, like everything that's on that album on Guitarcadia is pretty much written by me. So it was definitely the type of thing that was kind of near and dear to me. So I don't know, like why I did it. I mean, it's just I had all these instrumentals written, and, you know, like the one vocal tune that's on there that was an original tune, that was written for a progressive metal band I was in years ago. And I had all this stuff, you know, kind of welling up inside me. I had to get it all out. So that's pretty much how it happened.
Yeah, and I was reading also that you're an avid animal lover. And I've got five cats right now wandering around the house, so I'm an animal lover. But you also donate a portion of your sales to various charities. Which ones are your favorite?
Well, right now what I do is I help out a charity in Florida that my sister is involved in. And then I also do ASPCA because Sarah McLachlan came on TV one day and ruined my day and with those commercials. And I just said, okay, well, that's it, because I have a job. I mean, I'm a software architect by trade. I work with, you know, multiple clients. So, I mean, I'm knock on wood, I make a very decent living. But the music thing was basically always, you know, been a passion. And, I had a very supportive ex-girlfriend at one time. Unfortunately, we just split up not too long ago. And she really pushed me to do a lot more, you know, with everything. And that actually was essentially the demise of our relationship, unfortunately. But at the same time, she was very positive about, you know, me doing something with music. She just said, you know, maybe leave software behind and try to do music full time eventually. And I said, that's, you know, it's going to take a lot to do that because I'm used to a certain style of living or whatever. But I don't have a problem donating to these charities, because of that. I mean, I like to do that. It makes me feel good. And I wasn't looking for any kind of sponsorship from, you know, any of them or anything. It's just not even the tax write-off stuff. I mean, it was really just, I felt good doing it, I know a lot of people are always like, well, there's human charities you can take care of. And I'm like, I know that, but other people do that. I mean, I want to do something for the animals because, you know, I don't have children, so I'm such a, you know, my fur kids are my kids. And that's why I'm so, you know, I was so strong about that.
All right. You've got one song out. I want to play this one, White Knuckle Driving. It's cut four on your album, Guitarcadia. And one of the reasons why I'm doing it, I'm looking in the chat room, and we have a friend of ours that is constantly driving between Miami and D.C. And I'm, as you can tell, I'm not native to South Carolina, even though that's where I'm living. You can hear the New Yorker in me. I'm just picturing the L.I.E. And since you're up in that area, in Pittsburgh area, I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about if you've ever driven in New York or around D.C. So I'm going to put this out, and I'm going to dedicate this, if you don't mind, to Doc Jones.
Absolutely.
Out there. All right, Doc Jones, this goes out to you.
That is cool.
Thank you,
man. That is just simply awesome. That's what influenced you in writing the, and doing that, not writing it, but I mean, because I noticed with some of the music, obviously, hopefully Annie downloaded Boys of Summer. If not, we'll I'll upload that. But like I know some of them, obviously after Don Henley. But what got you on that one? That's a sweet song. I picture that song kind of like at the end of a TV show or something with credits.
Yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that because a lot of people have said a lot of the tunes on my album are kind of like, you know, they could be in like movies and stuff like that. And I got to tell you that one of the things I didn't mention when you were asking about my influences, I would say like an overarching influence is definitely like a lot of film composers. And I don't mean the guys that wrote themes like, you know, Jaws and Star Wars, which is John Williams and stuff like that. I'm not talking about stuff that you identify with, you know, like certain blockbuster movies, but I'm on a different level, like blockbusters of the modern age, like Hans Zimmer and Steve Jablonski and James Horner. Like, I mean, those guys wrote songs that are they're like a new level of composer. Like, I mean, I have on my iPod basically just a playlist that is just called, you know, movie stuff. And, you know, it includes stuff from, like, the first Transformers movie, the Lord of the Rings movies, Gladiator, Days of Thunder. A lot of these, you know, a lot of these movies that these guys all did these really cool film scores on. And a great deal of my influence, you know, comes from that. So I think a lot of people basically, a lot of interviews I've done, people have said, you know, Right Angles or Nothing Major could be like in a TV show or it could be at the end of a movie or something. And I hope I get that break where somebody wants to use that, you know, like what they would want to use it. So I appreciate the compliment. Like White Knuckle Driving was actually that the riffs from that song came from a tune that I wrote in a progressive metal band I was in like 15 years ago. That disbanded like in 1997, but it was for a song called I Feel Nothing, and it had lyrics to it. It was like 10 minutes long. It was like a Symphony X or Dream Theater-ish kind of epic tune, but then I just, you know, I decided to not do that with it and just lifted my own stuff out and, you know, wrote this really high-energy tune to basically, you know, when you listen to it, you kind of think, you know, Corvette, windows down, roof off, or you know, top back or whatever, and, you know, just kind of, you know, screaming down the road with that song blaring. So that was kind of like the vibe I was going for that song.
Wow, I still got it. It's like still got my blood going right now as we speak. Who are some of your, obviously during the 80s of a huge movie or music and movie time, who are some of your like favorite band types? Well, you know, such as Rock and Roll, The Police, and the, you know, that type of. Who are some of your influences then?
Well, I would say out of the 80s, probably some of the biggest bands I was into was Stryper, TNT, Journey, Whitesnake, Razor X, and then basically the continuation of, you know, like the late 70s, early 80s bands like, you know, Van Halen and, you know, even Night Ranger and, you know, bands like that. I mean, so I was really into those, you know, those types of groups. I got into the whole, like, spirit, like, real heavy metal thing, like, even, like, the satanic stuff at one point for about 3 months, and then I realized how old it got. It was kind of silly. But you know, because of the fact that I've met these people at the NAMM shows and stuff, I mean, a lot of that might have been a gimmick or whatever, but, like, I've met, like, a couple of guys in Slayer, and they're actually really nice guys. I mean, they're all family guys and stuff. And, you know, but back in the 80s, it was like, ooh, they were so demonic and evil, you know. And you know, it was, you look at, I look
well,
back
of course.
At I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. But I listened to just a little bit of everything. I mean, I liked a lot of pop, you know, that was on MTV when MTV actually played music. And, you know, I mean, anything that was melodic and had a big hook to it, I mean, that's what I gravitated towards. And, you know, but that's, I mean, I stayed true with, like, you know, Journey and those types of groups. I mean, you know, I liked Journey all the way up until, you know, the album they did in 2008, which I thought was phenomenal. You know, so, I mean, I've, you know, so those were definitely like my bigger bands. I mean, you know, I did get into like the twin guitar stuff with Razor X and Stryper. I liked all of that stuff, and Queensryche, of course. You know, so I mean, I was kind of all over the board. I mean, I really was. You know,
now, I got a question: is being a rocker like you are, what made you also a conservative?
Good question. Well, And the funny thing is I've just for the record, I've been doing radio interviews and blog, you know, like a lot of these interviews for over a year now, and politics rarely ever come up. And it's because I know like a lot of metal musicians are kind of branded as you know, like being very liberal and stuff like that. And I mean, I was fascinated by politics when I was like 11 years old when I watched the election between Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. And I thought Ronald Reagan was just such a badass, you know, like the way he just hammered on him during debates and stuff. And I just really got into it. And, you know, I watched my parents like flourish, you know, throughout the 80s. I mean, they had businesses and stuff like that. And I think, you know, some people say, Reagan ruined this country, or someone will say, or someone that they know, Reagan made the country greater in the 80s and all that. I mean, the opinions of politics on both sides, you know, from hardcore believers on either side of the aisle, even if just the independents. I just believed what I saw with my own eyes, you know, back then. And so I became a conservative, you know, because of the fact I just, you know, how I watched my parents have businesses and watched the economy boom in the 80s. I grew up in the west coast of Florida, and you know, everyone was like, oh, the 80s were a terrible time. And I'm thinking to myself, man, what were you smoking if you thought that the 80s were terrible? And I watched, you know, I watched us move from an apartment to a beautiful home. You know, because of stuff like that. And somebody might say, well, it wasn't because of that. And they say, okay, well, I was there, you weren't, you know, leave me alone. But I mean, I became a conservative just because I just align more of my beliefs. I mean, and I'm not fully all the way over there. I mean, I'm socially a little bit kind of more independent. You know, I do have like some pretty hard, you know, pretty strong social beliefs that can be considered conservative. But I'm like, you know, I'm very hawkish when it comes to, you know, defending our country. I'm very much a supporter of our troops, you know, very much, you know, in favor of, you know, very small government, low taxes. And I definitely do not like the way that, you know, President Bush got the living crap kicked out of him for 8 years by a very hateful media just because their guy didn't win. So, like, that kind of stuff kind of, you know, entrenched me a little bit more. I thought to myself, wow, this is a bunch of crap. You know, like the coverage that, you know, that was going on during Katrina and all that stuff. I'm like, this is nonsense, you know. And I mean, just the way that he was just so hammered on, you know. And I thought, you know, they didn't have the internet back in the Reagan years. They just had, you know, you didn't have, you know, cable news channels like Fox and CNN and MSNBC, you know, warring with each other. It was just like the major networks. And I think they had to be a little bit more honest back then. Nowadays, I'm really turned off by a lot of that stuff, you know. And,
We're going to bring in our other guest, who has just called in. He's Lloyd Marcus, and right now he's on tour with the Rebuild America Tour. Good afternoon, Lloyd.
Hey, how are you guys doing? I almost forgot I'm on the bus, and we just finished our rally and said, oh, my gosh, I'm supposed to be talking to Ann. So I'm standing in the middle of the bus rocking side-by-side as we are heading to our rally in Traverse City, Michigan tonight.
Ah, and you're going to be up in Grand Rapids soon, too. Matter of fact, I don't have the schedule in front of me. I had it here when Diane called in, but you're going to be up in Michigan all this
They're
coming
in Michigan,
week and next
they've
week.
Been in Michigan, yeah, all week. They're in Traverse City at 5:30, which I am going to be there. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah, I'm going to miss you guys tomorrow in Grand Rapids, but on Sunday, I'll catch up with you in Kalamazoo and Lansing, so I'll be there for three of the four rallies. Of all times, I'm from Grand Rapids, but of all times you show up in Grand Rapids, I coach football. Our game got moved to Saturday at 2, so that ruined everything there. So, but I'm really excited. You know, this is great. How was the Upper Peninsula? You guys just toured the Upper Peninsula. For those who don't know, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan is a lot of small cities and a lot of driving and driving and driving.
Yeah, but like all of the rallies have been really neat rallies, and I find that people are really taken back by our bus. So we have these two huge buses with Romney and Ryan's pictures on the buses, and both of the buses say "Rebuild America, Defeat Obama." So some people love us, and we get a lot of fingers. Some of those fingers are up, and some of those fingers are down. And some of those fingers are right in the middle.
I want to play one of your songs. You did a Tea Party anthem, the American Tea Party anthem, and I want to kick off your interview by playing this one. Here we go. This is Lloyd Marcus, and he's got a fantastic voice.
Oh, thank you.
Mr. President, your stimulus is short of us. It's just a socialistic scheme. The only thing it will do is kill the American dream. You want to take from achievers, somehow you think that's fair, and redistribute to those folks who won't get out of their easy chair. We're having a tea party across the land. If you love this country, come on and join our band. We're standing up for freedom and liberty. Cause patriots have shown us freedom ain't free. So when they call you a racist, cause you disagree, it's just another of their dirty tricks to silence you and me. I believe in the Constitution and all this.
Up on YouTube as well as on Lloyd's website, and you can go to rebuildamericatour.org to find out the dates and places that they'll be at. Now, Lloyd, I have you and Xander on because I want to show different spectrums of the music world, but yet how both of you can unite as conservatives.
I'm sorry, you said you have me on with who? I did not hear that.
Xander Deimos.
Xander's
okay.
Great.
How are you doing?
Oh, cool. Okay, great.
All right. Now, Lloyd, you have an interesting background. What caused you to become a conservative?
Okay, I am a black conservative. As a matter of fact, I get a lot of hate mail from the left because I walk on stage and say, hello, my fellow patriots. I'm not an African-American. I am Lloyd Marcus, American. And that
Lloyd.
Really gets me a lot of hate from the left. But I am far more loved by a majority of Americans because all of them know that so many of them hate hyphenating. Now, my conservatism started when I was 9. My family was very poor, and we moved into a brand-new government high-rise. And within 6 months' time, I saw that high-rise building turning into a huge ghetto. And everybody around me said that everything was the white man's fault. And I was 9, and I said, okay, so how can we stop these mean white people from coming in here and urinating in the stairwells and breaking the elevators? I kind of knew that there was something wrong with that picture. And then in 1956, my father broke the color barrier and became a Baltimore City firefighter, And that afforded my family funds to move out of the projects and off of the government system. But a large segment of my family stayed on welfare their whole lives, and it destroyed their lives, AIDS, drugs, out of wedlock birth. And they had everything free, free housing, free food, free health care, and yet they lived miserable lives. And like I said, welfare just basically destroyed them. So when I hear politicians talk about their compassion for the poor and giving the poor their fair share, I feel like gag me, because it's not about compassion, it's about control and votes. And I'm the only black person in my family who did not vote for Barack Obama.
Now, Xander, you're in the heavy metal field of music, and you're always exposed to a lot of drugs or other activities. How do you manage to stay where you are in that music field and still avoid all that?
Well, with me, basically, it was, to be honest with you, I felt I always had an addictive personality, and I felt if I would have ever tried anything like that, I probably, I could have gone down a very bad path. But at the same time, I did have a brother that was into drugs and all that kind of stuff way back in the day, and that kind of scared the crap out of me, you know what I mean? And, you know, nowadays, I mean, at my age and stuff like that, if people still do it, they're kind of pathetic, but, you know, I guess I don't begrudge anybody if they want to do that on their own time, but I was always very strong-willed, you know, even growing up, even 15, 16 years old, to not drink or, you know, to never try any drugs or anything like that. And, you know, I didn't actually even drink alcohol until I was probably 23 or 24 years old. And I said, okay, this is kind of cool. Once in a while, I'd go out and get hammered or whatever. And then as soon as I turned 30, I was like, oh, wait a second. I had two drinks tonight, and I had this wicked heartburn. I don't think I'm going to drink anymore. So even now, even at the age of 43, if I'm around parties and all that kind of stuff, I might have, like, a beer, or I might have, like, one mixed drink or something like that. But if I have any more than that, I'm popping tums in my mouth before I'm falling asleep, and I don't like that feeling, you know what I mean? So it just doesn't agree with my body, you know.
I have a question for Lloyd. You can't be black, because according to Maxine Waters and Jesse Jackson and Louis Farrakhan, and including our president, all blacks think exactly the same. They're supporting Obama and welfare and all the blah, 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 blah. Blacks are all robots and clones. How can you be black and disagree politically?
Well, I think that all of those people that you just named, I think they are despicable human beings. And you are right. According to them, every black person has to feel like that they're a victim. Something else that really annoys them is that I say publicly that I don't resent white people. I don't think that anybody owes me anything. And the thing that really annoys them the most is that I love my country. I mean, I feel like that the Maxine Waters and the Jacks and the Al Sharptons and Jesse Jacksons, they are really despicable people, and they are doing horrible things to black folks, because to me, to be born in America, it's like a pot of gold. We are the land of opportunity. People are trying to get here in cardboard boats held together with duct tape. I mean, these blacks are born in the greatest nation of opportunity on the planet. All they have to do is forget all this racist victim nonsense. Study, work hard, and you can do anything you want to do. I mean, excuse me, there's a black man in the White House. So, like, to me, that should throw all of that victim crap out of the window. But it has not. It has only intensified. And the Obama administration continues to try to sell the victim crap even more. It's absurd. And it's evil, and this is why I want to do everything in my power to get this evil, racist, divisive administration out of here. Like I said, we are headed to Traverse City, Michigan,
yep.
And I was up here And I was up there a couple of years ago with Tea Party Express, and at that rally, a white lady in a wheelchair saw me approaching her, and she said, "Oh my gosh, it's Lloyd Marcus. Can I have a picture with you?" So I took a picture with her, and her daughter told our product manager. This girl said that my mom is dying, and she said all she wanted to do before she died was to meet Lloyd Marcus. I mean, wow, you know, talk about moving me and humbling me. And this was right on the heel of the mainstream media attempting to paint the Tea Party movement as a bunch of redneck racists. Just absolutely despicable. It's like, I have no respect for the mainstream media. I think they're scum. I have no respect for the Congressional Black Caucus, the NAACP, and the Obama administration. I think they're scum, too.
Well, I mean, what you said bears a lot of accuracy is that not only is the Tea Party very diverse, but even with Zandersfield, they paint most musicians and artists as lazy and stupid. But, you know, an awful lot of black people have surrendered their life in our military for freedom. So, I mean, to stereotype them in the way that many of these people that we named earlier have made a fortune off these people.
Absolutely.
By making them
and
the victims.
And they continue to do so, yes.
Yeah, Jesse Jackson's going to be worth almost $1 billion, basically by inciting, by demoralizing morale. And, I mean, I think that is a crime in itself. But, as always, I mean, the people with power usually make power by preventing others from gaining power.
Well, I have to tell you, the part that, and I find the most ironic is that the folks on the left are always calling me a stupid N-word, and they say that I'm a traitor to my people. No, I want to empower black people because I want them to know, cut the crap, just go for your dreams. The people that are really the air enemies are the Congressional Black Caucus and the NAACP and so on. As a matter of fact, there's something else that I do at all of the rallies. I say, look, folks, and I reach into my pocket. I say, I have a photo ID. So this confirms that the NAACP and the Congressional Black Caucus and the Obama administration are wrong. Black people are not too stupid to find their way to acquire a photo ID. I mean, why isn't black people up in arms when these people who are supposed to be their friends are saying, no, 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 you can't make black people show a photo ID to vote because that disenfranchises them? Well, you have to have an ID to drive a car, to get on an airplane, and they're basically saying nationally that black people are just too stupid to get a photo ID. I would be, you know, that so offends me, and yet these stupid segment of the black community keep worshiping things, poverty pimps, race exploiters.
Well, try telling someone who owns a liquor establishment, try getting a alcoholic beverage and tell them you're 21 or older, and guess what? You don't have an ID, but you're really 21. Try getting a cocktail then.
I mean, it's so absurd. And I got to know if y'all heard Obama's super racist speech the other night. He was talking about the victims of Hurricane Katrina, and this is the president of the United States, and he basically implied that the United States and white America did not care about black folks. And that is such a lie, because $100 billion came from the American people. That's billion with a B. The American people reached into their pockets and donated $100 billion to the victims of Katrina. And so for Obama to stand there and say America doesn't care about them, and this person is the president of the United States, We're in big trouble, guys. We're in big trouble. This is an evil, divisive man, and he just needs to be gone.
Xander, where do you live? Xander, where's your hometown? Like, you're voting.
I live in Pittsburgh.
In where?
I live in the eastern suburbs of Pittsburgh. It's a place called Millville.
Oh, okay.
Steal the country.
That's big high school football right there in Pennsylvania. A lot of great teams.
Yes, definitely.
So, we'll start with Annie, and let's work our way down. Was there a part of the debate this week that kind of was your favorite part of the debate?
Well, let me see. Let's start with the first moment Romney opened his mouth to the moment Obama shut his. No, actually, there was a lot of seminal moments in there, and I thought, I almost fell out of the chair laughing when Romney turned around to Obama and said, Mr. President, you may own a plane and you may own a house, but you do not own the facts.
That was definitely good.
There was
Xander,
a bunch of them. Yeah.
Xander?
You know what? There was a lot of good moments in there, but I liked the one that they kept playing in the highlight reel, to be honest with you. I thought the one that they were talking about where Romney was talking about having five sons and, used to hearing stuff, so often that, he just had forced to believe it's true and it just isn't or something,
Yeah.
I just thought it was kind of funny. And, when you see two powerful people like that, going at it, I think, there's definitely a matter of goodwill. I definitely think that Romney really, mopped the floor with Obama. And I just, it was nice to see that kind of confidence because Romney is the opposition to Obama, he's getting murdered in the press. And I just, it just sickens me because I just, I want to pull my hair out. But it's like, all right, get up there and just pound on him. And I think, to be honest with you guys, I'm just looking forward to next week with Paul Ryan and Joe Biden, because Joe Biden is such a walking disaster that I'm just hoping Paul Ryan just makes a clown out of him. He's not going to take much to do it.
All right. Lloyd, how about you? Favorite moment in the debate?
My favorite moment was when Barack Obama turned to the moderator and said, "Can we move on to the next question?"
I
thought that was good. Oh, and something else too. I love the fact that Romney stood up to him. I was so afraid that he was going to be, I got to be nice to the first black president. I can't make anybody mad. I mean, and because that's what John McCain did. John McCain said that he was not going to say anything bad against Barack Obama. Well, that was stupid, because that's like getting into the ring with the Mike Tyson of politics and saying, "I'm not going to hit him." Then why bother?
Absolutely.
So I thought that Romney was going to be McCain too, but to my surprise, he hit him, and he hit him hard again and again and again.
Yeah, and you can bet the next couple debates are going to be that way. My favorite part of the actual debate, I'll tell you there's two parts, is that when Barack Obama again repeated, which is so false, that the United States pays companies to move overseas. That is an absolute lie. That doesn't exist. Tax write-offs, if you declare bankruptcy, you write that off as a tax write. That's all that is. And they say, well, they pay you to go overseas. But he goes, I've been in business 25 years. He goes, I don't know what you're talking about. But after the debate, when I turned to MSNBC, watching Chris Matthews and that other little bitch just sit there and scream, why did he just sit there? Why didn't he go after him? Fact of the matter is, I think the president got punched a few times, and he almost didn't know what to do. I think they expected Romney to be like McCain, just a big sissy. And you know what? John McCain is a veteran, and I love the fact he is a hero as far as veteran. But he was a horrible candidate, and John McCain is a socialist. He's a Republican by name, but not a conservative by nature. He won't even protect the borders of Arizona. But, I mean, the bottom line is I thought it was great. Somebody from MSNBC stood up on a chair screaming about Barack was a pussy and he's a sissy and that Romney was throwing all these hard punches and Barack just took it. And he just, and of course, Romney lied about everything. He's a liar.
I know. I heard that today.
I thought, you know, this may be our one moment in the sun, but boy, I enjoyed it. They were going hysterical on MSNBC. If you've ever seen a bunch of kids throwing a temper tantrum, that was them. They all needed to go to timeout, as the liberals say.
Right. Well, you know, and something else also is that Barack Obama, he really did not have a substantive way to come back, because basically liberalism is just a bunch of empty rhetoric. And so Romney kicks his butt with rock solid conservatism. I mean, that's why I'm a conservative, because I know conservatism, it makes sense, and it's best for all people. The only thing the left has is y'all are a bunch of racists, or y'all only care about the rich. Like all this stupid, factless nonsense, that's all they got. But when you hit them with facts and figures and logic, they're like, can we move on to the next question?
Yeah. Xander, did you have a question you wanted to ask, or you wanted to say something?
No! I'm just listening. I'm waiting my turn.
It is your turn, but we'll turn it to Annie. We forgot Annie's still involved in the show. It is her show.
Thank you, Mike.
Hi, Annie.
Just sitting back here and just listening in. I wanted to bring up a couple of things. First off, Emery McLennan, who's with the Tea Party over in Fort Wayne, wanted to say hi to Lloyd.
Hey.
Emery brought Tea Party Express into Fort Wayne. And I brought you into Buford a couple of times, if you remember, here in South Carolina.
That was
the stage my husband built that you danced on. And I was the one that the first time you came in, I was in the wheelchair, and you tried to help me get up on the stage because I had a walker at the time.
Wow, yes. Man, have we been doing this a long time, guys, or what? You know.
yeah, for a couple of years.
Years now, yeah.
We got a caller that I'm going to bring in a few moments, but I wanted to make an observation, because one thing I noticed that Lair was trying to direct Obama several times in the way he was answering the questions, and he was also favoring the time that Obama had over what Romney had to respond. And I did notice on several occasions there were certain sort of nods and visual communications between Obama and Jim Lair. And I have a funny feeling that they had thought they could win the debate by simply directing it between Lara and Obama and trying to cut Romney to the barest minimum, and it didn't work.
Right.
And you can
bet
that the next couple debates, that in many ways it will be structured to prevent Romney from hitting another home run. They'll probably want him to hit a single, and Barack slowly will try to get back in this. But I think what Lloyd said is very accurate. When you're speaking factual, I mean, do you basically want power? Do you want to empower government, or do you think government should empower you? And it's many, as she said, the poverty pimps. At a certain point in time, you basically lose your everything under control of government. Socialism and communism, it's not just a color. It's not under a Darth Vader uniform or a Klan uniform. It's in all shapes and sizes, but it all is the same. It's government control. It comes in many different ways. It's on radio. It's on television. It could be a priest or a pastor or a teacher. But communism and socialism is preached everywhere, many different faces. It's just like a chameleon. Go ahead, Lloyd. Sorry, I cut you off.
I think that was great. So.
All right, well, let me bring this caller on. Area code 260, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. To whom am I speaking?
This is Emery. Hi.
Hi,
Emery. My friend.
Hey, okay. I just wanted to say you have two very great guests on today. I could not help but call. I wanted not to call, but I just had to call because both of their comments are so right online, and I agree with both of them. And I wanted to add also that when you made the comment earlier, the other host, about our leaders, so-called leaders, Lloyd hit it and your other host hit it right on the head. These people are not the real spokesmen for the black community. They are pseudo-spokespersons. They have taken over, and they are trying to hold people in line, the black community in line, so that they can keep them down, keep control, make money off of them, and be the spokespeople for the black community. But in reality, they do not speak for the majority of the black community. But they're the only ones that the liberal media will allow to have that voice. So people like Lloyd Marcus, people like the other guests you have on Alexander, we need to hear more from them in the public. And this is what I'm pushing for. That's why I took place in the movie, A Runaway Slave, because I wanted to have a voice from the grassroots people heard in situations like this so people could know, hey, it's not just those that are being paid, it's not just those that are being propped up, but it's everybody out there. We have an equal opportunity to speak up and say, hey, conservatism is right, conservatism is what we believe in, and thank God for people like Xavier and Lloyd for doing it.
Well, Emery, when is your next event down in Fort Wayne? I wanna come. I never got a chance, but I want to come. And stick around because we're going to play a song, Boys of Summer, that Xavier wrote that's it's really going to get everybody who's listening. They're going to be dancing up in their rooms.
Well, that's the day. Yeah, I'm going to be speaking. Actually, I'm speaking a couple times tomorrow, but it's not my event. And a couple of rallies tomorrow. Then I'll be going to Wabash to help out Freedom Works tomorrow night. And then Monday, I am actually speaking to get the keynote speaker, the Wells County Tea Party. And we're expecting a pretty nice crowd, and I'm expecting really fire those people up and get them ready to roll into the election season. And then, you know, we have other things that will be going on within our Tea Party group here in Fort Wayne all next week and the week after. But no big rally plan as of yet, but we're working and we're working. We're going to keep working. So,
hey, Emery.
Yes.
Emery, look, I want to thank y'all guys for making that Runaway Slave movie. And I wanted to ask you, has the mainstream media given you guys much play on that? Because it doesn't seem, you know, it seems like the media tends to hide black conservatives. I feel like that we're invisible to them.
Yeah, Lloyd, I forgot about that. I wanted to comment on that, too, because I heard you comment on that earlier about the black conservatives and so forth. And, yeah, you're absolutely right. When the producers and the marketing people from Runaway Slave called me to get some advice on how to market it in Indiana for the opening, I gave them several media outlet numbers and websites and names, and then I had an American Indian girl named Marquelle. You know her, too. She's also an entertainer and a singer. We worked hours, countless hours, trying to get this into the media, but they downplay it because, first of all, when they find out that we are who we are, they don't want that message to be sent out to the community. The people want to hear. We can send out emails to the grassroots people. We can announce it at the meetings, write letters, but the media won't cover it, and they especially hide it when they find out that we are black or American Indian or some other minority. So, Lloyd, you hit the nail right on the head.
Unfortunately, Lloyd's call just dropped, but I'm putting up in the chat room. I actually put the wrong link up, the link for the movie. And I went on there yesterday, and if anyone wants to have this movie, they can go on there, and there's a link on there where you can find out how you can help bring that movie into your town. So it's runawayslavemovie.com. Go into that and try to get the movie played in your town.
There's an area where Lloyd is traveling, excuse me, Annie, but you will not get a signal. The only thing you really can do on the buses there is pray, because there is no signal, there is no fluctuation of a signal going in from where they're coming. They're coming from the north of Michigan down. There's about a 45-minute stretch there where there is no cell service, period. I mean, they don't, you stop at these places, they don't even have Wi-Fi, even if you ask them about Wi-Fi. Can we actually play Boys of Summer now, Ilana?
Go ahead. Pull it up and play, because I can't see it on my screen here.
Oh, hang on a second. There it is. Okay, this is Xander. Xander, I'm renaming you. Xander the Great there. That's Neil Batman. Here's this remake of Boys of Summer, and that was originally by Don Henley, who was with the Eagles back in the day. See, I know my history, even though I'm not that age. I know my history. What's up? Anyway, here we go. This is such a sweet intro.
Cool. Thank you.
Thank you.
summer. Xander, man, oh, man. I checked a couple times to make sure I was muted. I was singing myself. Wow, what an honor.
You know what? I have a fantastic idea. Emery, every year you have that ham radio thing that you do with the veterans that goes nationwide and worldwide. You should hook up with Xander and have Xander come out and perform on that day.
Yeah, what we're doing is we're working on next year right now, and hopefully everything will work out because we've got the county commissioners here behind us and we've got some people that want to sponsor us. So we may be able to do that. So I'll keep in touch and let you know. But, Xander, it's called Amateur Radio Military Appreciation Day, and it's an event that we hold to let the families talk to their troops via ham radio and give people in the community to come out and show their respect.
Okay, cool.
And Fort Wayne is it's in Fort Wayne, Indiana, but I'm sure you can do it where you're at. But Fort Wayne is a great town. There's all kinds of really fun nightly activities at Fort Wayne, adult entertainment type. That's just all kinds of fun things to do in Fort Wayne. Oh, I'm sorry. I guess I shouldn't have said that, Annie. I apologize.
No, what's great is with Xander's music, with the type of troops that we have out there now serving, they would enjoy it. They would really enjoy it, you know, because you're not
talking
to...
Yes, absolutely correct. Not only that, but
generational.
The families, too.
Yeah. It will fit in perfect generational.
Yeah, the families would, too. Yeah.
The awesome things we do for the troops, I mean, there are just so many great things. But, you know, I mean, it's very troop-friendly. I have one quick question for Xander before we're probably going to lose him shortly. Xander, when you are performing music, before a crowd, what type of what type of things get your blood flowing? What type of pre-concert or you know what I'm trying to say, but I can't say it right. Just before an event, what gets you really? What do you do to get hyped up?
You know what? For the longest time, I was doing so many shows with being in multiple bands and stuff. I mean, it became a little bit routine. However, I got to say that, you know, like a lot of times I'll just go ahead and, you know, do warm-up exercises to, you know, keep my fingers loose and stuff. And, but I mean, depending on the type of show it is, I'm cooler than the other side, as the other side of the pillow most of the time. You know what I mean? I just try to really, just kind of zone in on what I have to do. Like, I mean, I remember when, back in April, we opened up for the artist Buckethead. He used to play in Guns N' Roses, and, you know, he's a legendary instrumental guy, and he has a huge following. So he had this, you know, huge crowd there at one of the venues where he played. So when we went up there, I was just like, wow, this crowd is going to basically be, they're going to either love me or hate me, because some of my stuff might almost be too light for them. It might not be weird enough, you know. And we went out there, you know, second song in, and people were, like, totally digging it. So... I sort of morphed to the energy of the crowd. You know, so it's not so much me basically psyching myself up or whatever. I just try to go out there and be a very confident performer. And, I don't get nervous over the size of the crowd. And I never have. I'm very lucky where that's concerned. You know, my friend CJ Snare plays in the band Firehouse, who actually, mixed and engineered my album. He actually, even said, he's like, you know, some people got it and some people want it. He's like, I can tell you're one of those people that just got it, you know. So it was a great compliment from a guy who I've admired for over 20 years, you know.
Yeah.
Well, before we bounce, why don't you, your Facebook, do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, it's basically facebook.com/XanderDemusMusic, just all one word. And you know, of course, /XanderDemus is just basically my personal Facebook page, where you just see me posting pictures of my silly animals and, you know, my little funny thoughts for the days, or some random movie quote, like from The Departed or some movie like that, you know, like, you know, some of my favorite movies. That's kind of what I do. But most of, you know, I have like over 10,000 likes on my fan page, and that's really great. You got over 100,000 views on White Knuckle Driving, which was done on July 4th around 11:30 in the morning, right before I went on a boat with some friends. And, you know, so I was like, you know, nothing professional, just me setting my camera up and just, you know, noodling in front of it. So basically, you know, youtube.com/user/XanderDemus. If you go to XanderDemus.com, though, all of the links are from all my social media are basically there, and they just all, you know, redirect you right to the right place.
I have friend requested you on Facebook as well, just so you know. And Annie,
right, Mike, I wanted to make a notation that Xander said something earlier with about CJ Snare saying that some people have it and some people don't. There are people that try to be musicians, all right? They can play the notes. They can say, all right, fine, here I have to do a crescendo and here I have to do adagio, whatever. But then there's people that when they play the music, they are the music. They feel it, and then that's what the crowd feeds off of. You know, because if you just go out there and just hit note, and no emotion to it, you're going to have absolutely nothing. But Xander, when he plays, he evokes emotion in you. And that's the difference. That makes a great artist.
Thank you. That's a great compliment.
And I was going to comment, Annie, on his Facebook, if you go there. The ratio, the guys to women, are probably 1 to 5,000. So, Xander, I doubt you're going to have a hard time finding another lady in your life. Wow. Man,
no,
I'm
already dating. I got a great girl with me now. I just my ex-girlfriend, though, she was incredibly supportive. And, you know, I had nothing but respect for the way that she backed my music career. The problem was there was a lot of internal issues that I really can't discuss. But, unfortunately. And it's very, very bad. And
As we say in the nightclub life, out with the old and in with the new. Annie?
Yeah, I believe so.
Go ahead.
Well, my husband says it's another life, another wife.
Nice.
That's why Annie's doing the show, and he's in the background talking. Oh, wow. This has been a great show. God, it seems like just snap our fingers and it's almost over.
Absolutely. We always have fun on the shows. Now, Xander, you've just made me forget what I was going to say. But if you had a bunch of young kids coming in and you started to try to talk to them about who to vote for the election, what would you say to the youth today?
I would basically say is I would say, look, do your homework and find out what's most important to you. I mean, I'm not going to berate somebody if they go to vote for Obama. You know what I mean? If they are firmly rooted in, you know, in their beliefs and that they have a reason for it, then you know what? And don't throw the vote away or don't not vote, you know, don't not vote because those candidates piss you off or something like that. I mean, by all means, you know, use it wisely. If somebody said, hey, look, I'm really on the fence, you know, convince me otherwise, I would probably just – that's when I would, you know, kind of put on my campaign hat a little bit. I'd say, okay, well, here's why I think you should vote for Romney, or I think you should vote against Obama. You know, because everyone's always like, oh, it's the lesser of two evils. I don't know who to vote for. And, I mean, that's what I hear from a lot of younger people. It's like, okay, look, you're watching the wrong TV and you're reading the wrong stuff. I mean, I would just say, look, find what's important to you and vote that way. You know what I mean? And that might be kind of a cop-out on my end. And believe me, I think if some people hear this, they're going to be like, dude, we thought you were like a metal guy and you were like, you know, a big liberal. Like, no. I don't really get into politics on the other shows I've done. But I would just be honest with them. I'd say, look, here's the reason I'm voting. I'm 43 years old. I run my own business. I've, with several clients, and I like this government, these type of taxes and all this kind of stuff. And you know, and here's why. And I would just kind of plead my case by telling the truth. I'm not going to sit there and lie to somebody, you know, just to get them to vote a different way. You know, I don't do that kind of stuff. But, I mean, if somebody was really on the fence, I would just make the strongest case I could for the reason I'm voting for Romney. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I agree. Emery, how's Richard Murdoch doing in Indiana, who Dick Tea Partier, who won the Republican nomination against Dick Lugar?
We have a new set of ads that came out on yesterday, I think it was, or day before. We've ran a lot of good ads. Matter of fact, I was able to be in a couple of the ads. The momentum is up. We're going to have right now they're having a big Richard Murdoch Day down at the Victory Center downtown Fort Wayne right now as we speak. And tomorrow I will be involved in four events. One is the Religious Freedom Rally, and then after that I'll be involved in three Richard Murdoch-type events, and one with Deneen Borelli and Matt Kibbe from Freedom Works.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
This is an exciting, as disappointing as it is the direction of our country, I am so excited about election night. I'm nervous about it, but there are so many Tea Partiers and military veterans and true conservatives, constitutionalists, that have won primaries. And, of course, it's being downplayed by the media. But if you follow it, there's an amazing revolution taking place within the grassroots of our country, ignited by the Tea Party, that is just on fire. And election night, I tend to think we're going to have a 75% victory as far as true conservatism, both in the Senate and in the House. And no matter who gets elected president, look out.
All right, Mike, I want to give one heads up. There is a scandal that's going to break either today or possibly Monday. And guess what it has to do with? Campaign finance and the Obama camp. It appears they're taking a lot of donations on these throwaway debit cards where you can't trace back to who is making the donations. And a lot of these donations are coming from overseas in direct violation of the federal law. Folks, there's going to be a scandal breaking. Let's see whether or not mainstream media is going to pick up on it.
That's racially inclined. If Barack Obama were not black, that story wouldn't be breaking. That's a racial story. I mean, how many times can you use an excuse, whether it's poverty or your race or whatever, for basically being a criminal? And this disappointed me a little bit in the debate. And it was maybe because Romney is not just a great, great choice, but he's a better choice. But I really hope he'll get called on the Constitution and just the things that the Tea Party stands for, that people like to say, it was a racially – no, it stood for the Constitution. And keep in mind, it ignited when we had a Republican House, a Republican Senate, and a Republican president. I mean, the bottom line is the Tea Party stands for the United States, for its Declaration, and for its Constitution. And the bottom line is we don't waver with that. And I really would like to see Romney hammer him away on that. The problem with that is that we all know Romney has to be a big Republican, big spender too, because that's obviously where a huge part of his campaign finance is coming from. But go ahead, Annie. Sorry.
All right. Well, we're down to our last 6 minutes, and just going to let Emery and Xander say some closing statements and let them go, and want to let people know what we have going on for next week. Emery, you have a closing statement you'd like to make?
Yeah, very quickly. I just say I encourage everybody, get out to vote, vet, and if you know something that is not right, if you know something that should be brought out, post it on Facebook, post it on Twitter, email it to your friends. A lot of times people will not know what's going on. An example, the scandal. I've known about this scandal since Monday, early Sunday, Sunday night and late early Monday morning, and trying to get it out, trying to tell people about it, but the media wouldn't cover it. But now they're going to have to. And I told them, I said, they're going to have to cover this. They're going to have to cover it because it's going to come out. So what we need to do as patriots is stand firm, vet, get the information out, and do your research and vote for the candidate of our choice and save America, because this is what we have to do. If America cannot support another 4 years of Barack Obama, because we will lose the America that we know. And thanks a lot for having me on and for the message that you guys are spreading.
Thank you so much, Emery. And I'll be talking to you because you and I always shoot emails back and forth to each other.
Okay. God bless you, and thank you.
Thank you. Xander?
I wanted to thank you guys for having me on, and I really appreciated you taking the time out to listen to Guitarcadia and giving me a chance as a very rare conservative in the metal world to talk a little bit. And I basically would just encourage everyone to go out there and use their vote wisely. I firmly believe that Obama had his chance in 4 years, and I think he blew it. And I think it's time to clean the White House up. I just think it's time for it's time for real hope and change. And that's my opinion on it.
In this area, they've changed the hope and change yard signs are now hope and freedom. They've changed the change.
Nice. Hope and I definitely agree with that.
God, can you imagine that? Yeah. And I can either. Annie, wow. Xander, thank you so much. What a great show. And we'll post your link in there. And Emery, man, Does anyone do more in the state of Indiana for our veterans than Emory? Wow, what a great American he is.
Absolutely. And Xander, I'd welcome you back anytime. So get a hold of Mike and
I
tell
really
me you want to come
it.
Back on.
Yeah, add me as your friend, Xander. Sorry to interrupt, but Xander, add me as your friend. I'm dying to meet a couple of your friends on Facebook, let me tell you. Oh, I'm sorry. Annie always hates it when I do.
Hold on a second. Let me just go ahead and there it is. Cool, Mike. All right, cool. Gotcha. Now you can just go ahead and start talking to all of them.
Okay. Thank you so much, Xander. This was a great and fantastic show. But you know what we got coming up also next week? Next week is going to be absolutely exciting, too. We have Anita Moncrief will be on Tuesday. And following Friday, we're going to have Lieutenant Colonel Bill Connor. Plus, a new guest will be joining us on Friday, Dr. Waleed Ferez. I don't know if anyone remembers his name.
That Friday.
Yeah, that Friday. So we're going to have a really good Mideast conflict show on Friday with Dr. Waleed Ferez. And anyone doesn't know who he is, look him up. Last name is Pharez. He is a dynamo on the Mideast. He's consulted with several different Congress, he's testified in front of the UN and so on and so forth. So we'll have a great show on Friday. So join us back again next week. In the interim, have a very safe, healthy, and happy weekend. And until then, and we see you again on Tuesday, same bat time, same bat station. Good night and God bless.
Good afternoon, everybody.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.webs.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
American.